Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see such a full house this morning. Fewer people on Zoom than usual. Interesting. Right. Well, let me make our land and ancestor acknowledgement first. I invite us to dedicate our time together this morning to all those who are suffering. We recognize the Dakota and Anishinaabe peoples whose descendants are still here and whose lands we occupy. Let us also offer deep gratitude to our Indian, Chinese, and Japanese spiritual ancestors for all they have given us and for the chance to practice here today. Let us stand with the Black community who have suffered in the loss of the Rondo neighborhood. We are all connected. May we work together for the liberation of all beings. So the title of the talk today is Katagiri Roshi's Zazen Instruction. Oops. I'll need to have my microphone on for this. I just got back from 10 days of retreat at Hokyoji Zen practice community down near Aitsen, Minnesota, just north of the Iowa border. You have to actually like go down into Iowa and then come back to get there. And the beautiful rolling hills of the Driftless area, southeastern Minnesota. And yeah, this is the place that Katagiri Roshi, or one of the places that Katagiri Roshi founded back in the early 1970s. It's a beautiful place. They've done a lot of work making new or building new buildings, which includes a lot of fundraising activity as well as a lot of actual building activity. So now they have a wonderful, guest, they call it the guest house, which is kind of fun. I think of the Rumi poem. And Moss Hall, kind of a central gathering place. But this was kind of a poignant trip because this is probably very likely the last time we will be able to use the original Zendo from the early 1970s. That could change, I suppose, but really it would be good because just looking at the Zendo this time around, I'm not sure that building is going to last a lot longer. The corners of it are sinking down into the ground. So, like, things are, windows are trapezoidal now and they can close all the way. So that was poignant. And Myo-O delivered,
Oh.
or excuse me, Myo-Owen. Yeah. No, that's a good correction. Got a lot of Myo-Os, even sometimes I get them. So. Myo-Owen delivered a very nice kind of, what would you call that? I don't know.
Tribute.
Tribute. That's good. It's tribute to the building that was lovely. Zen practice isn't stuck in the past either. So it's good that practice is continuing. And we'll be moving forward in whatever form that takes, even though it's gonna involve some changes that people will probably be unhappy about, like the old building actually like has to come down. So just before I left for this 10 days, which was a combination of priest training and 3 days of priest training with some, travel time at the beginning. 3 days of a practice period, a short practice period, and 4 days of session. Just before that, I came across, as these things go, a recording of Katagiri Roshi that I had not been aware of before. Which is him actually giving Zazen instruction. I'm the guy, this may have been alluded to in the introduction, I'm sure. I'm the guy who's transcribing Katagiri Roshi's Dharma talks online at katagiritranscripts.net. Katagiri Roshi, in case that I also didn't make this clear, was the founder of this branch of Soto Zen Buddhism in Minnesota here. He's the reason, or, you know, a big part of the reason why we have this interesting little bubble of Soto Zen Buddhism going on here, even to this day. Because his spiritual descendants are carrying on what he introduced them and us to. At any rate, Dharma Field Meditation Center across the river, apparently 9 years ago, posted on YouTube an audio recording, no video, sorry, of Katagiri Roshi's actual Zazen instruction. The context of this is he visited Menominee, Wisconsin.
I know about that trip.
Oh, do you?
We need to talk.
Let's talk later. That's interesting. In 1981, is that the trip you're thinking of? And apparently they asked him to do Zazen instruction. And when I listened to this talk, I was like, wow, this is something that I wish I'd heard like 9 years ago, or possibly longer than that, because I think this is, personally, I think this is very helpful and instructive. And it's particularly interesting because he's addressing a group of people, apparently a small group of people, who are, you know, interested in meditation, interested in Zen, but perhaps not extremely familiar with the details of Zen and the style that he offers it. So he went into more detail than I have heard before, more detail than he goes into in his Dharma talks about the, well, there's the principle of Zazen, which he yet talks about, but the physical form of Zazen, which we often translate as sitting meditation, which, you know, we were doing. And yes, you can do it in a chair as well. I'll get to that. Don't worry. So anyway, I was so interested in this that I made that kind of the theme of my, you know, personal sitting at Tokyoji this time around, and during breaks and sometimes during work practice, was working on transcribing this Zazen instruction, and I was trying to practice with these principles that I was there, which was helpful for me. So I was so impressed by this that I wanted to share that with you today. And hopefully, even after that long prologue, I will still be able to do so. That's the setup. Is that okay? All right. And if you take nothing else from this talk, yes, sir.
Could you share the meaning and the rarity and the significance of a driftless zone?
Ah, the driftless zone. I'm not sure I'm really the person to do that. Are you speaking geologically?
I'm speaking cosmically.
Cosmically.
I can define what it is and why that's such a rare area, a sacred area. The driftless zone is an area where the glacier did not come and scour and change the landscape 10 or 12,000 years ago. So it has the indigenous flora and fauna, including microbial. It's the region where Kent Wheelie with Seed Savers chose to grow heirloom vegetables and teach the world how to set up a seed bank. So I think it's very significant in the whole Zen picture. You know, and they're extremely rare driftless zones. So.
Yes, thank you.
I thought it was wonderful that you mentioned it was driftless.
Yes, thank you. And that we don't know, or I don't know, but that may be one of the reasons why Katagiri Roshi was taken with that area and decided to establish a practice center there, which was initially just like some tents. Okay. I'd like to thank you for that. I'd like to get to the Zazen instruction. But if you take one thing from this talk, I think the important thing is that this is available to you now. I mean, it was available before, but I'm telling you, and also I transcribed it. So the text is available to you as well on katagiritranscripts.net. I'm going to do a lot of reading of what Katagiri Roshi said because I'd like you to hear as much of it as possible. But inevitably, I will probably chime in and comment on it because this is my talk. So we probably won't get to the whole thing. But really, the whole thing is not that long. The audio is better quality than you may be familiar with because it's less compressed than the audios that they put on the MZMC website. So if you listen, I implore you, if you listen to one thing by Katagiri Roshi, this is probably the thing. It's FYI, in my opinion. Okay, so I'd like to read the kind of Katagiri Roshi's introduction. There's several parts to this. We'll do the first part here. So this is Katagiri Roshi. Zazen means Zen meditation. In Japanese, Zazen. Za is sitting. Zen is Zen, tranquility. I always use the term Zazen because the Zazen we do is a little different from the meditation that other schools, other religions do. I'll make a little aside. I almost edited out the other schools part because he corrected himself. Kind of sounded like he was correcting himself when he said other religions, but also it's other schools too. And he does say that on occasion. He may not have wanted to say that in retrospect to the introductory group. It's kind of my guess. That's why I want to use the original term Zazen. In Chinese, etymologically, the Za is the two persons sit in the universe. And I added a note here. The character Za depicts two people sitting on the ground visually. On the ground. If you look at the transcript, it shows how that actually works. Back to Katagiri Roshi. That means you have to sit with more than two beings. You have to sit with more than two beings, not only human beings. You cannot sit alone. So you should sit with more than two beings in the earth, in the universe. Not in your own egoistic, selfish territory. If you must open yourself and sit in the universe, very naturally, you have to sit with all sentient beings. That is called sitting. How is that striking you so far? I find it interesting that this is the basic Zazen instruction. And this is how Katagiri is launching it, because this is a very important point, perhaps the most important point. And then, very naturally, through this sitting, that sitting is exactly Zen, tranquility. Because all sentient beings around you are exactly sitting with you. So very naturally, that is called Zen, tranquility. Does that make any sense? This is another, actually, it may not make any sense, and that's okay. This is actually another very basic point that will come up over and over again if you're studying this branch of Buddhism and Katagiri Roshi's speaking of it, which is it's both. It's the many beings and also it's tranquility sitting in that field. Those are my words, not his. Okay, I'm just trying to make this maybe a little understandable as an introduction. So you and the universe, all beings and all circumstances, become sitting with you together. That is called Zazen. So all we have to do is to do our best to sit in the universe with all sentient beings. That's all we have to do. Okay. That's the first couple paragraphs. Don't expect anything special, okay? Other than this, just do your best to do this Zazen. Just like a spinning top. The top is spinning, just spinning. At that time, the top becomes still on the floor very naturally. You know, tops work. So that's all you have to do. But if you expect even slightly something from Zazen, Zazen becomes a means to an end. At that time, there is Zazen and also purpose. So very naturally, there is something else. So very naturally, you cannot always be exactly sitting. You cannot do your best to do sitting because you expect something extra other than Zazen. So when you want to do Zazen anyway, do your Zazen. That's all we have to do. You think he's trying to get something through here? If you feel hungry, all you have to do is just eat. And then after eating, you can very naturally see something. But before you eat, you cannot expect a full stomach because you haven't eaten yet. So all you have to do is just eat. But intellectually, here we go. Intellectually, you have to know, what is Zazen? What is the purpose? What's the meaning of Zazen, etc.? So that's why we have to explain how to do Zazen, how to eat breakfast, how to eat supper, etc. But when you jump into activities, jump with the full functioning of your intellectual sense and just eat. It's not just eating blindly. With your full attention, your full kindness, then you eat. And then very naturally, you can see something else. So I want to pause and say, when I read this, I'm reading this with a kind of emphasis that's different from what Katagiri Roshi presents with. So you should really listen to it yourself to pick up his style. And really, if you can see a video of him, I'm going to at some point post a video. I found a video where he's giving an actual Dharma talk in 1973 in Alaska, apparently. Mm. So he's doing the sitting posture, and his posture is just boom, just there, just like he'll be talking about. His posture in itself is really striking to me, and I think probably in general. So that is Zazen, back to Katagiri Roshi. But usually we always expect something before you do Zazen from the Zazen. Do you think so? So always your mind is spinning. What is Zazen? What's the purpose of Zazen? So if you do Zazen, you've heard something about Zazen from your friends or from a book. Zazen makes you calm. So very naturally, you expect calmness. So when you sit in Zazen, then you expect the calmness. But actually, your mind is busy. Have you experienced this? I have. It's pretty hard to find the calmness. So you are confused very much. So calmness or not calmness, that is an intellectual understanding, temporarily. What is Zazen? What is the purpose? What do you mean, etc.? Why do you have to do it? Many reasons there. But when you start to do Zazen, forget those explanations and just sit. There are three points we have to follow. This is interesting. Three points we have to follow. Harmonizing body, harmonizing mind, harmonizing your breath. Three points in Zazen. So let me show you first how to do Zazen, and then I will explain a little bit after that. So that's the introduction. And next, is that okay so far? Next, what he's going to do is actually go through Zazen instruction, which he is talking about in the seated form. All right. Now, there's a concern there because at Clouds and Water, we want to make this practice open to everyone. And it is open to everyone, but we want to emphasize that it is open to everyone. Whether you sit in a chair, whether you sit on a cushion, or really whatever you need to do to support your body. So I want to take a slight sidetrack and read a bit that Katagiri Roshi said in a different talk. This is from Fukan Zazengi talk 2 or 3 in 1979. We're doing it on time. Yeah, I need to keep moving along. Shikantaza is arrangement of all things. Shikantaza is just sitting, wholehearted sitting. I would love to go into the definition of Shikantaza because this talk helped me understand in a new way what that is, but I'm afraid we don't have time. Shikantaza is arrangement of all things and then sit down. That's all. That's all. This is really bodhisattva practice to help all sentient beings. If you practice this, your life is really helpful for you and for others. It is very true. Even though you don't say anything, somebody realizes you have something to tell him or her, verbally or nonverbally. So that is Shikantaza, the Zazen you do mentioned by Buddha. It's pretty difficult to understand for us intellectually, because we are getting the use of always analyzing and synthesizing everything in the dualistic world. Why do we do that all the time? Because it's extremely useful, because we need to do that to survive to some extent. It's very difficult to stop immediately, to just stop immediately. That's why even though you stop for a while, you don't appreciate that practice. But this practice is only the best way. And then this is the part I really wanted you to hear. We can explain how important this kind of Buddhist practice is philosophically, psychologically, but it takes time. That is a huge world, the philosophical background, psychological background. But even though you don't know it, you can do it. You can do it right now, right here. This is a very urgent need. We have to do it. Whoever you are, wherever you may be, you can do it. For instance, if you are in an office, well, you can still do it. If there is no one there, you can sit down in a chair and calm yourself. If you are talking with somebody, you can realize a certain pause where no words come up. For that time, you can return to yourself and breathe. Okay. Hopefully that sufficiently makes the point that we're not necessarily locked into the specific sitting form that Katagiri Roshi talks about in considerable detail. He goes on a little bit. You can do it, okay? Wherever you may go, it's really universal. It's very simple. It's too simple to realize. But this is the best way. Not only for you in, not only for your life in this world, but in the next life, in the life after next life, and after next, next life, continually. Here we're getting into the subject of another talk. But it's important. This is Soto Zen Buddhism. Okay, so we still have 20-ish minutes. Is that okay so far? That was just the preamble. Mm-hmm. Any questions about that as it stands or as it sits? Okay, so if it's all right with you, I found his specific Zazen instructions really fascinating and helpful. And if you're in a chair, that's fine. You may still be able to use some of these points. So if you'd like, maybe let's stand up for just a moment to like reset ourselves. Okay. All right. You haven't been sitting here for however long it's been. We're starting fresh now.
Oops. All right,
let's sit down. So are you interested in this, the specific kind of form instructions for Zazen?
Yeah.
Okay. For this, we use these round cushions. Any of you are sitting on them. If you don't use a round cushion, very naturally, the center of gravity is around the hips. So if you fall asleep, you fall down like this. Some chuckles. I'm not sure what that would be. I'm not honestly sure. I would love to have the video of what he was actually doing, but sadly we don't. Because this posture, the one with the, you know, without the round cushion, is very unstable. If you sit like this, it seems to be comfortable, but it's not comfortable as a whole. Because you oppress your intestines. Oh my goodness. Sometimes Katagiri, he used English actually very precisely, but he was not a native English speaker. So sometimes his word choice is just slightly interesting. Because you oppress your intestines, so your intestines don't work, you know. And also your heart is oppressed, so you cannot breathe well. And also, if you cannot breathe well, then very naturally your nerves become irritated and your hormones cannot keep balance. So very naturally, as a whole, you become irritated. So then you cannot sit for long. So even if you feel uncomfortable sitting straight, this is pretty good for us. Because if you straighten your back and front, very naturally, all your organs operate very well. So we use these cushions. If you use this cushion, very naturally, this Zazen forms a three-dimensional triangle. And then the center of gravity is right in the middle of this triangle. So it makes your posture very stable. Even if you fall asleep in Zazen, you cannot fall. So just like this. So while you do Zazen, you can sleep well, very naturally. And there's some laughter. Katagiri Roshi is telling a little joke there. But also there's some truth to the statement. So that's why we do this posture. And also there are two postures. Half lotus, this is half lotus, or vice versa, your left leg on the right side. There, boom, right there. That answers a question for me. Yes, those of you who are familiar with Bukan Zazengi, by the way, Katagiri Roshi, pretty much all of the Katagiri Roshi says is rooted in the teaching of Eihei Dogen, the founder in 13th century Japan. There are almost all of his talks, and there are probably over 1,000 of them, Dogen is at least mentioned. And sometimes the entire talk is about Dogen's specific teachings. But if you are familiar with Bukan Zazengi, it says, first put your left foot on your right thigh. I can't remember which way it is. Something like that. Or no, in the half lotus, simply put your left foot against your right thigh. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that sounds very precise. Do I need to always do it that way? But here, Katagiri Roshi, a local expert, just casually drops in, oh, you can do it the other way too. So I take this as kind of an indication, okay, maybe I don't need to read it quite that literally. All right. Okay, full lotus or half lotus. And also full lotus is like this, both your legs up on your knee. And then if you do this posture, your weight is put on the three points, two knees and the hips. Two knees on the square cushion and the hips on the round cushion. So this is the posture. Posture is very important. Next, this is very interesting. Put your hand palm upward on your knee. Then take deep breaths. Open your mouth just slightly. Inhale, let the body breathe in through your mouth. And when you inhale, your body is arching backward a little bit, stretching the front. very slowly with full attention, okay? And don't wait for me. You can do it multiple times so you don't hold your breath. And then when you exhale, your body is arching forward, just like taking away all, not that much, just like taking away all the inhaled breath from the lower abdomen, just arching forward. Do you understand? Okay. Let's repeat this one. And then next, lean to the right as you exhale, stretching out the left side of your body. And then bring your body back to the center as you inhale. And exhale while leaning to the left, stretching out the right side of your body. And inhale and bring it back to the center. Let's repeat this. And the motion goes from large to small. This is a very important practice before you sit.
Mm-hmm.
This is a preparation for your sitting, physically and mentally. And then next, your left hand, palm upward, is placed on your right palm. And the thumbs just touch each other right above your middle finger. Not forward, not backward, right above the middle finger, making the form of an ellipse, not a circle, not a square, like this. Not a loose feeling, not tense. A very soft, a gentle form you should make. This is called the cosmic mudra. This is the symbol of the cosmic universe. We cannot exist without the universe, so we should appreciate the universe. To appreciate the universe means you should do something with the universe, physically and mentally. So why don't you show the universe? The universe is big, but we can know the characteristic of the universe to unify two beings together in peace and harmony. So that's why two hands are put together like this, and this is the universe. This was very interesting to me, and after I read some of this, I felt like almost making a bit of a public apology. Because the way I've been teaching this has been kind of a little bit more like, oh yeah, there's this thing called the cosmic mudra. It kind of means something about wholeness or the universe or something. So to read Katagiri Roshi emphasizing it as like a really important practice for this style of sitting is instructive for me. So if you believe this symbol of the universe made by your hands, well, that symbol really works. But if you don't believe, the symbol is just a symbol. It doesn't work in you. Maybe I'll skip a bit that might be confusing here. Anyway, that's why we make a universe with two hands. And then the universe must be one with you with the center of gravity. So that center of gravity is always lower abdomen. So this universe must be touched to the lower abdomen. And the thumbs are placed a few inches below the navel, not too high, not too low. And your arms go forward a little bit, not too much, like this. Again, we can't actually see what he's doing. Not touching the side of your body. Interesting, not touching the side of your body. So go a little forward. Just like holding raw eggs under your arm, neither crush nor drop, okay? And then very naturally, your arms become relaxed. I was working with this. I'm still working with this. I've been doing this a long time. I'm still working on this. Next, in the lower back, okay, this is good too. And next, in the lower back, push it forward a little hard, little hard, and then adjust a little. This practice is a little hard for you because you have never done it before. So if you do Zazen like this, next day you may have a sore back. But you are alive anyway. And you can say it like that. And your body, your mind is working very normally. So don't worry about this. So push the lower back first and adjust a little and straighten your upper back and your head. Keep your neck in parallel with the wall first. And then without moving your neck, pull your chin in so that you feel like you're pushing the ceiling with the top of the back of your head. And then very naturally, your back becomes taut, just like sticking a straight stick from the top of your head to the bottom. And then very naturally, your eyes cast down on the floor, looking at a certain point on the floor, a little wide area. Don't pick up a, I'm not sure what he says here, but like a detail or something from the floor. Just cast down your eyes. And then this area is almost in the same distance as your sitting height. So very naturally, in other words, approximately a 45 degree angle, but I find it's actually more helpful to visualize it as he's explaining it. Oh yeah, sitting height about that far out. And then let's see. So very naturally, your eyes open just slightly, not wide, not closed. If you close your eyes, you really enjoy innate visualizations. If you open your eyes too much, that is also trouble. Your mind scatters. So not wide open, not closed. But in the beginning of Zazen, if it is difficult to take care of your mind, at that time you can close your eyes for a while. Okay, for a while. And then as soon as possible, you should open your eyes. So let's have this posture. And yes, I know there are reasons why we might not tell people that these days, but this is the original version here, the OG Zazen instruction. So let's have this posture and cast down your eyes on the floor. Your eyes open just slightly. At that time, your nose and navel are in a vertical line and ears and shoulders in the same straight line. That means you cannot lean forward, you cannot lean backward. You cannot lean to the right or to the left, exactly straight up, just like a mountain. This posture really teaches us a middle way, exactly middle way, neither attaching to the right or to the left, regarded as two extreme ideas. Not to the right or to the left, not front or back, just straight in the center. This is the middle way. We're embodying the middle way. But middle way is not going in the middle. But we know both, all situations. And then you can walk in the middle. So you have to keep your body always not tipping forward or leaning backward or leaning to the right, to the left. You have to watch. You have to understand the whole situation there. And then next, bring your teeth together and lips together. And also your tongue, I'm not going to actually do this part because I need to talk. And also your tongue should be touched to the roof of your mouth. Natural as you can. And very naturally, your mouth is closed. Next, let the breath in through your nose and let it go down to the lower abdomen. And let all the inhaled breath out through your nose slowly. Okay, let's repeat this breathing. When you have a proper posture physically, very naturally your breathing is going in and out from your nose to the lower abdomen without stopping on the way to the lower abdomen. That is breathing. Okay, so far. All right. Any questions about that? Again, this is online, so if you're really interested, all this is available as reference. If you pay attention to the breath, the rate of the breathing, respiration becomes a little bit slow. Not too slow, not too fast, but if you pay attention to your respiration, the respiration goes a little bit more slowly than usual. Sometimes you have a problem for your breath. Okay, this is a part probably many of us would like to hear. At that time, let it go as naturally as you can for a while. Just breathe naturally for a while. If you have a problem, like stomach pain because you push the breath too much to let it go into the lower abdomen, At that time, sometimes you have too much tension in the lower abdomen, or sometimes you cannot breathe well. So at that time, let it go and breathe as naturally as you can for a while. And to do that during session, I can relate to that. Don't worry about good breath or bad breath. He doesn't mean it that way. Don't worry about good breath or bad breath. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about judgment. If you see not a good situation of your breath, let it go for a while and take care of the situation with your breath to return to normal. But if you are irritated trying to control your breath, at that time you make more of a problem. It's possible you might initially hear this as being like very strict standard, but I just want to repeat again. He just said, if you see it, don't worry. Don't worry about good breath or bad breath. If you see a not good situation, let it go for a while and take care of the situation. So sometimes you can control, but sometimes you cannot control. He doesn't say control what. If you cannot control for a while, let it go and then see what is the problem. You can do this. Breathing is always changing. You cannot keep a certain pattern of your breath. Constantly changing according to your emotion, according to your feeling, and also physical condition and external circumstances and internal circumstances, body too, always changing. I'm getting near the end, so I'm going to read just a little bit more. That's all the setup. And then next, the mind, harmonizing your mind. The mind is really busy, like a monkey. Anyway, take care of your mind. Okay. In my opinion, key point coming up here. This was important for me to hear. So taking care of your mind should be, let your mind sit in Zazen with you. I'm going to read that one again. Taking care of your mind should be, let your mind sit in Zazen with you. Constantly. Don't let it go. If you let it go, it runs wild. Anyway, let whatever kind of mind, monkey mind or good mind or calm mind, whatever it is, let your monkey mind sit together with you. That is a point. So for this, your mind should be with your breath. Got to tell you, that statement surprised me. For this, when you inhale, maybe you can concentrate on the lower abdomen going out. And when you exhale, you can concentrate on the lower. I don't have time to read this whole thing. There's more, folks. This is the breathing, he says a paragraph later. It's pretty good practice. So either way, always your mind must be with the breath, but mine goes immediately. Okay, all the freaking time. One of the wonderful things about Sashin is you can really start going deep enough to notice this. Like, you know, when there's a conversation that you know, maybe were on the periphery of, then in Zazen, that's coming up and it's like, rrr. This is why in Sashin, we try to cut way back on the talking, because it's just practically difficult. It's an obstacle for coming back to this, what we're doing. But very often your mind is just like a wild kid, really wild kid. Always he's screaming and going out, and you are just like a mother. So always take him back, okay? I don't know how often you should take him back to your Zazen. Maybe your whole period of Zazen. You always see mind going out, take him back. And going out, take him back, always. So finally you say, what is Zazen? You don't understand Zazen's meaning. But that's all right. That's all right. Don't worry. All you have to do is see the mind. Where is it? And then if it goes, take it back. Bring it back with your best. That's all we have to do. Okay, he says, this is Zazen. For a while, I will correct your posture. I'm not going to do that. and that's it for the Zazen instruction. But he then says, when the Zazen is over, release the posture of your hands. there's some more detail you can read on yourself, but basically don't act suddenly. Just like Fukan Zazengi says, you can really, if you know Fukan Zazengi, I think you can really hear the echoes of Fukan Zazengi in what Katagiri Roshi teaches. But there's more detail, which I think is helpful in my case. Yeah, and you do kind of the reverse of that process from small to large. And then you're ready to go. You can get up. We're not going to get up just yet, but soon. And just make sure your leg isn't asleep. I find I have to depart, oh my goodness, from Katagiri Roshi's instructions because I need to unlatch my leg first because I need some time to like restore the circulation. So I'm going to say you can do that. And then you can stand. So there's more here. The part after that is more, I don't want to say philosophical, but technical explanation of why. Okay. And it's very, very interesting. Another piece that would be a whole other talk. So again, katagiritranscripts.net. Go down to the resources section. Currently, there's a link to this, the transcript, which is, by the way, a work in progress. I was doing this during the session, for goodness sake, people. I don't know what's in here. It was typos. I was seeing them as I was going along. And also a link to the annotated Fukan Zazengi I'm putting together, which is, since we don't have his complete teachings on Fukan Zazengi, it's references to everywhere I found in his talks so far where he addresses lines from Fukan Zazengi. So if you're interested in exploring that in detail, this stuff is there for you. All right, thank you. I hope that was, I don't know, interesting, maybe helpful, not terrible. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kikon.